It's the most money I ever made. We played a 45-minute set, and we each made $1,000. Wow. We made a grand for a 45-minute set at the Hard Rock.
Wow, that's
what the f***? Yeah, it was cha-ching.
No. Nice.
Hell yeah.
You remember I threw out that?
Yeah, dude.
What's going on, you guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Pregame Pod. Clap it up, everybody. Woo! You know what that's we're doing, guys.
We are out here. That needs to be louder, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, like, okay. That's good.
All right, guys. Listen, we're out here for another episode. Episode number 74. We got John Castillo with us as well. John, how you doing?
How you doing?
No review today, but listen, we got a full house. Another treat for you, guys. A real treat for you. Sitting right next to us for the third time on the podcast, it's Matt Siliberto.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, yeah, sir. Dude.
Thanks for having me. Very happy to be back.
Yes, sir. Than
ever, feels dude. Good to be here. New studio, but I like it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, new studio.
This is my third podcast and third different studio.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it is. You've been with us around. In all places.
I've been everywhere.
Yeah.
Round, get around. I get
you
around.
Statistic, you know how they do in an NFL, you know, like the first player to do this three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt's the first guest to follow the pregame into all locations. Yeah, that's true.
Am I your most have I been on the podcast the most?
Yes.
Most reoccurring guest.
Actually, yes. Yeah, you have.
Yeah. Hmm?
Yeah, you beat somebody by two. By one, actually.
Yeah.
So, who was on it twice?
Tyler Hackus. Yeah.
Hackus. That's good company.
Season second
Hacked
place.
Out, yeah.
It's good company.
But season three, and I'm still here.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Matt, baby. We're glad to have you back here. And it's good to see you again, buddy. You've been busy. We've all been busy. And you've been busy with your band, you know. Let's just give people the background. You know, I'm probably going to use your experience for my thumbnail to get people to listen to this episode.
Stuff.
So, Matt, talk to us about some awesome venues that you've been playing in the past couple of months. I know you went to Hard Rock recently, so how was that experience?
Yeah, so I played the Hard Rock. It was really cool. So in 2022, last year, I got the chance to play at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Cool. Yeah, I played there four times last year.
What the?
Yeah, my name was on the lights and the
really?
Marquee. Yeah, it was sick. It was really sick.
Did you take pictures of it?
Yeah, I did. You want to see?
I actually do, but you can show
me. We'll keep talking.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Yeah, show me while you keep talking.
For the listeners too.
That's so awesome.
Just let them know. So you're a drummer.
I'm a drummer. I've been playing the drums since I was in seventh grade. I like to say the drums chose me. I didn't choose the drums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They chose me. I don't know if I told this story. You want to hear this story?
I do, yeah.
About how the drums chose me.
So I played guitar. Tenacious D story.
I was playing the guitar because guitar was cooler. And then I played the guitar at a talent show when I was in seventh grade. And the guy that ran the carnival said, if you could get a little band together, I'll let you guys play at the carnival. So my cousin played bass and his friend Dylan played guitar.
Shout out to Spowie.
Yep, Spowie. And they already knew a few songs and Dylan was just a filthy guitar. Like still to this day, Dylan guitar is Hosky. Better than I. Like, yeah, Dylan Hosky.
Okay.
Filthy on the guitar. So I was like, all right, I'll learn the drums. So we learned a few AC/DC songs, some Ramones, you know. Let's go. Just some of that stuff.
You have to play that song.
Yeah, and they were easy songs to play. So, and then we played them at the carnival and when I was in seventh grade. And then we did it again when I was in eighth grade. And then I just became the drummer. And I was like, I embraced it. It's like, you know what? I'm the drummer.
Do you think that made you like cooler, like in school and classes? Because like, that you like were really good at an instrument?
You know, well, you know, I was cool already.
You did ask Mariska guys to prom in Miss Walsh's class playing the guitar.
So that was kind of a flex.
I think it was definitely a flex for you.
So I still play guitar. And yeah, the way I asked Mariska to prom, I wrote a song on the guitar.
This is so fucking cool, by the
I
way.
I know, I'm pretty fucking cool.
No, this is ridiculous.
Not the truth.
Thank you. Did you get paid for this?
Yeah, so
what? Hell yeah, that's why I did it.
Yeah, but we got so the first time here, good story. So I played there. That was in January. We played there January of 22. Then some dude who was like running the gay parade pride in the summer was there.
Gays, love the gays.
Gotta love the gays.
Gay parade pride.
Yeah. So the guy who was running some event at the Hard Rock saw us and wanted us to play their event there. So we did this like gay pride sober event. Like it was, so it was for recovering gay people who are recovering alcoholics.
Pussies.
Did you do any Clay Aiken songs?
No, we did. We did learn a
Lil Nas X.
I think we learned a Madonna song.
For well, that's good. That's pretty gay. Yeah.
There was a drag queen and everything. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
I forget her name. I think Logan.
It's a very, yeah, sounds like a drag queen.
I don't know what you call it because it was a dude. You guys
getting some beers after this?
It was a dude. No, we got invited back to the fucking hotel for the orgy, yeah, though.
Actually? For the orgy?
I know you did. I know
yeah,
you
we did.
Did.
There was an orgy at the hotel.
And like, you invited. Didn't go?
No,
like,
I didn't.
They were why? Just, like,
it's the most money I ever made. We played a 45-minute set, and wow. We each made $1,000. Wow. We made a grand really? For a 45-minute set at the Hard Rock. Wow,
that's what the
yeah, it was cha-ching.
Nice.
Yeah, remember the sound No, that's awesome. That's incredible, dude.
So that was sick.
Is that the first time that you actually get paid like that good of
like
a
that? Set? Yeah, I mean, usually it's like $1 to $250.
Is that rewarding? Like knowing that you're getting paid. Like
I mean,
that
yeah,
much?
I felt like I'm a professional musician.
I mean, could have been hard well, the entire.
Yeah,
day.
I'm hard right now, still thinking about right. it. So even getting there, I unloaded my drums. So they had this, so it's in Times Square, so there's nowhere to park, really. I mean, there's nowhere to do anything. Like, mm-hmm. So I pulled over to the side of the road, unloaded my drums by the freight elevator, and then we had this parking garage. I went parked in the parking garage, and then I was coming back. I thought I had to get my drums, but I was like, oh, I guess they took my drums up. They took it up. They took it up already. I was like, oh, that's cool. Dude, so then I walked out. So then I was like, all right, they took it up. I thought I still have to set them up and everything. Then I walk into the auditorium.
They set your...
And my drums are already on stage, set up. I'm like, what?
Like how you have
and
them?
And then they're like, come on, sir. Here's back there. Here's your dressing room. We had this massive dressing room. We got a beer.
Here's your prostitutes
beer.
For you. For
yeah, free. Here's your coke. Came out like coke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what do you want? What pills you take?
Yeah, hell
and
yeah.
Then.
Did you do any drugs?
All of them. Dude. No, I didn't.
I would have done. You know, that's, well, live that real rock experience. Dude.
I know, but I swear I did no drugs that night.
I was listening to an episode of Rogan, and he was talking about a comedy club in Boston back in the day that said you can get paid in either cash or cocaine. And he said a lot of comedians did both, you know, half and half.
Yeah.
Half and half, half money and half cocaine.
They'd go do a set and, yeah, get handed an 8-ball and $500 or something.
Addiction's a crazy thing, huh?
Yeah.
That's insane. I could never imagine doing that, unless I love cocaine.
I was just
so how many hours was it, by the way?
So we that event, yeah. We were there for like 3 hours, but we only played for 45 minutes.
So
we were just sitting in the dressing room with food and beer.
So for you performing, you literally got a grand for 45 minutes. That's, I mean, 4 hours I total. Mean, that's like
yeah,
you
but know, also like you drive into the city.
No, that's a life right there. That's
driving cool. in ducks, like it's just I mean, it's a headache.
Oh then, my god, yeah. Your life is so.
Like, so I actually wanted terrible. To ask you a question.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And follow up on something. So one of the last times we had spoken a couple months back, you had let me know this new manager that you guys were getting was, I think this is your other band, your cover band. They were going to try to get you into venues down south.
Yeah, I mean, we're still working on trying
like
to
Janks and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's a constant battle to try to get into that. Yeah.
I heard down south, I thought you meant like
we don't play Georgia. Enough. We don't play enough to get... repped like that because we're only trying to play like 2 or 3 times a month, and these bands are playing like 6-7 times a week. Mm-hmm. I mean 6 or 7 times a month, like 2 or 3 times a weekend.
Yeah
we're only trying to play 2 or 3 times a month.
Why?
Like Zach's lifespan, because that we're not full-time musicians. I mean I would I don't know,
live off of it.
Yeah, but it's the lifestyle's so different. Like Zach Seif, for instance, he's a full-time musician, but literally he doesn't have you can't have a social, like I like going out with my friends on the weekends too. And if you're doing this, like,
yeah, dude,
you
what
can't,
do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
It's your passion. This is what
you're, yeah, but it's my passion, but it's not, that's not fun to me. I don't want to work every weekend.
Okay.
I don't want to work Thursday, Friday, Saturday night from 7 to 2.
Is that like weekend. So? Let me get a better picture of this.
That's what they
mentality.
Do.
I want to know, like,
I mean, yes, playing is fun.
No, I get it's fun. It's a passion, yours, but I feel like is it mainly towards like you don't really want to work for it? Is it mainly, mm-mm. or is it just like
no? I'm putting in work.
It sounds like you're just not willing to sacrifice for something. That you're
I'm willing to
about.
Sacrifice. I sacrifice enough to enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah, but what's the goal? Like, don't you want to be a professional?
I don't know.
Like, and making millions, like you're. faces on billboards? Like, is that not something that calls you?
I don't know, because then I got to go on tour and be away from my friends and family for weeks or months on end.
Yeah. Some people the really one want goal, that.
Yeah, but I don't think I do. That's maybe fine. I did, but I yeah. don't.
Well, you yeah, know, that's it's, fine. That's what, fine if you don't
what's
want
What's funny is we had this same conversation with Amanda Gale last week, who was our guest. I don't know if you saw Berto. She's a
she's
comedian.
Very conflicted,
she's from Central
too.
Jersey.
She's
well, conflicted. It was interesting because we also had this debate, and I had mentioned how, you know, obviously I've considered maybe doing comedy and or, you know, just traveling, going to LA or something, and I battled with the same things, Matt. You know, I like being around my family. At the time, I had family issues that I didn't really see myself leaving from. So, and obviously my friends, my girlfriend, there's things that tie us down and keep us with, you know, regional. So I completely understand that, and if that's your balance, if that makes you happy, brother, then it's only your decision. Yeah. And I fully support that.
Like,
so kudos
at a time in my life. Maybe like even just 2 years ago, sure, but like I'm starting to get older now. I have a job and like another career forming. Not that I like this is the glamour that, you know, that would be, but
do you want to talk about it, or is that like
that's kind of what I'm doing?
Okay, my bad. I'm gonna cut you off while you're explaining.
I was just like trying to get you to unpack more for some reason, but I
swear to God, I did not think that you were gonna get into it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
We've
it's
been
like,
getting into it the whole time.
Your new job. Your new job.
No, I'm just talking. I don't know.
The other job.
What?
You said you have another career for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm in sales. Not that, like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, obviously, music is more fun, but, like, what I'm saying is just I wouldn't.
You got to get the bag somehow.
The bag's always going to be there, bro.
Yeah, but I just don't know if being a full-time musician is really what I want anymore.
I can respect that, of
course. We all go through that process as a kid, you know. I wanted to be a.
Yeah,
baseball player, you know, like you probably wanted to be a soccer player with all our skills and stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not playing soccer anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm just like saying, like,
nah, like my goal. Older, I guess my goal now
it's different, and I want you to understand that that's so different. That's like so different.
My goal now
it is.
It's no. not. It's it equates it down to the same thing because you're both pursuing passions.
No,
whether
I'm not pursuing
make
that,
money
though.
From that or don't. You're still choosing free time to do something you're passionate about.
I understand.
It doesn't
that.
Mean you have to. Continue to make those strides and steps to the next level. You know, there's so many people who are out here who nobody knows, or maybe 1,000 or 5,000 people know. They don't care. They're doing what they're doing, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. I love doing this.
I think that for Matt, he's just more in a position to like actually grasp that dream. You know, it's closer than for me to become a professional soccer player.
Like, so for the original music side. Really what my goal going into it was is like I want to play in like a festival in front of 10,000 people. That was my goal going into
That'd be
it.
Dope.
And I still would like to do that. I still think I could do that. I think I'd rock the fuck out of the stage, to be honest.
Name said venue.
Like just like some like festival on the B-stage, like a Firefly festival, but on the B-stage or something like that. Like not the headlining act, but like the Saturday afternoon.
Okay. Why do you want to be on?
What do you mean? Why?
What do you want to be in front of like 10,000
people?
That's
what I just
said. That's what he just said, bro.
No, I meant like more than that, though. You said B stage.
Yeah, sure. There's still so many people there.
Have you been to a festival? The B stage, like barely anybody goes to it.
I've been to festivals.
I don't think you have, Paul.
I have.
Whatever. Point is, like, I know I'm not trying to be in the Killers or Foo Fighters, but if we could be one of those names on the bottom of the poster.
I hate you, bro.
Matt, name so hate you so, much. So Matt, you've played at some really cool venues in Jersey, the Stone Pony, obviously North Jersey as well. Do you have a favorite?
You're gonna hate my answer.
Is it Kerwin's or Ellis?
Yeah, it's
Ellery's.
I just
I don't hate that at all.
No,
you're around your people.
It's only because
you,
like the it's only
cool.
Because
nah, it sucks.
I like it the best for reasons because I'm not lazy, but it's so easy to get there. And
do they pay you good or no?
Sometimes, and. And the place is just packed with everybody that's there chanting my name, so.
I mean, yeah.
You're so stupid. I just love when they say my name.
Everyone's like, take your shirt off. I'm like, okay!
That's pretty cool, man.
It's like your mom in the room, too. Like,
yeah.
No, actually, literally.
It literally is his mom in
there. We played there over the summer, And everybody was chanting to take my shirt off, so I did a strip tease in front of my mom.
Yeah. And you know what? Knowing you, that was just so natural.
It was funny as hell. Yeah. I loved it.
It's kind of funny because that Office reference when Meredith's son is stripping for Angela's.
Yeah. And he keeps stripping. And
oh, my God. She's like, Jakey?
No, move aside. Let me show you how you really do it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's
Angela. That wasn't Angela, by the way.
Wait, what show is this?
Meredith.
Oh, did you?
The Office?
Someone's ripping ears.
Or Angela.
You watch it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love The Office. Yeah. I've seen it like two or three times.
Yeah.
But like, also, like, I love playing. This past weekend, we played at this place in the city. It's called The Red Lion. Like by Washington Square Park over on Bleecker Street. And the place was stupid packed. Like, such a fun gig. But, like, going to the city sucks. Like, looking for parking and... I got towed once when I played there, so that was not fun.
That sucks.
That adds to the experience, I think.
Yeah, but but you know, on the other end of things, like there's some places with the original band, we play some places like it's a Saturday night, people are doing things, and I have to go play to like the bartenders because nobody's at the show.
Yeah,
like we're the opening act on like five other bands are playing, and we just play literally to the bartenders and the restaurant staff.
Can I ask you a question? So when when we were with Amanda, you know, there's certain venues where in a setting like that, maybe it might actually work to their advantage because you get to try out stuff. As a musician, are you playing the same notes every time? Are you doing the same thing every time?
No.
Do you try stuff?
I'm not.
You try stuff out? Or?
I do. 100%.
Yeah? Okay.
I hate playing. So in the studio when I'm recording songs, then yeah, I try to play like... I was about that process earlier. So like I'm trying to as we're practicing.
We should get into that process.
I figure out exactly what fills I want to do where and when I want to get loud and when I want to get soft. So I try to play it exactly like that when I'm in the studio. But live, I like to fuck around and try new things. Yeah, 100%. Especially when I'm playing other people's music, like in my cover band. Like it's just like kind of a roadmap, and then you just want to like. You know, you use the song just like a roadmap, mm-hmm. and then you just want to. I like to add my own flair to it. Like, what would I do if I was the drummer?
Awesome. Mm. I love that. And then the other question I have is also for the listeners. So, Matt's in two different bands. One's a cover band, and the other one is where they do original music and, you know, have a manager that gets you on Spotify playlists, et cetera. So, the other question I would have is when you're performing live with said band.
Just edit that out.
You got you.
I spilled.
That just hammered.
Do you have a different sort of vibe and connection with those band members?
Yes.
Because one is original music and the other is you're playing, you know, older songs that people love and know. So is there a difference between that?
Yeah.
Two?
So I have a different relationship with the music itself. I sound like a right now.
I love it. I understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I understand what you mean.
I hate the way I'm like, I sound like a snob saying like, well, the music talks to me differently.
So you can say that, but in a way that like, the way that it sounds to me,
Don't
apologize. You've been playing music your entire life.
The way I relate, the way I relate to the music and the way I relate to the people is different because they're different groups of people. I hang out with them in different ways, you know, and it's a different, both bands are a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. I mean, similar in ways, but different. Different dynamics. And then because one is more like the cover band, it is very business driven, but it's more for fun. Like they're older, they're both older dudes, I guess, but they're like, they're 35, 45, 55 year old dudes who work full-time jobs and just want to go out and party and play music and have fun. We want to get as far as we could go, but it's more just having fun. And we try to have as much fun on stage and we around at practice. I mean, we'd get done, but you know, it's fun. The vibe is fun. Whereas in the original band, where it's like business, it's like we're trying to write these songs, like stop around,
studio
like we gotta
time,
get this done. We're paying,
it, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So it takes the fun out of it.
And it's way more stressful too. Yeah,
it's the fun out of it.
And it, like, I hate, like, it almost like it, like, it's annoying to have to go to practice. I'm like, I don't want to go to practice.
Have you ever asked yourself like what you can do to make it funner?
Kind of.
More fun.
I wish we would just jam sometimes more. Like, we don't just jam. We don't just. So, like, in college, I was in a band. And we would get together with no agenda of trying to learn or practice anything. We would just, for an hour, just around and jam with each other. And, like, ideas would flow out that way. With this band, that I'm in now, Lou doesn't like to, he's not good, I guess, at just doing that. So it's more, he's like, has this riff and I have to play the riff with him. And I'm like, can't we just not do that and just like kind of like play?
Have you vocalized that to him? Like,
Yeah. He's like, I don't know, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I don't know, just do it. No, it's not even passive aggressive. It's like, he's not like that. He's not that type of musician.
How old is he?
Where that's how I learned how to play music. He's like 35, 36 now.
He's a boomer.
He's kind of. But both my bands are both boomers.
Yeah. Does he ever like show you his phone? Like, how do I?
No, he's I think he's pretty tight. He actually has a crypto. He's a crypto YouTube channel that getting subscribed. He's got like,
oh, shit.
What's his
5,000 to 6,000 subscribers?
What's
now.
His name
on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
6,000.
I think so.
What's his name?
God damn, I don't know.
That's like, you're making money.
Truth
at
Bombs.
That point.
Truth Bombs. Yeah, he's making money.
Yeah,
like,
you can make money on YouTube.
He started it. Not even over a year ago, and it just like two of his videos blew up.
I think I've seen Truth Bombs on Instagram actually.
I think it's called Crypto Truth Bombs. I'm not sure what it's called. I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Just shout it out.
I might have even sent it to you in the past.
Shout out whatever the.
But no, yeah. So he dabbles,
yeah.
Yeah, and then he got like sponsors and
yeah.
He reached out to a lot of people.
I think we were talking upstairs about like the, and we don't have to really get into it if we don't want to. We could keep it light, keep it fun. But we spoke upstairs about the creative process. I was giving you like a quick little idea of like mine, right, Paul? You weren't here for it. So like, for me, I don't know. I feel like I was really creative as like a kid, right? I had like toys that I would play with, but like those toys were like real, and those toys were like, I would make cinema with them, right? Like I would make movies, like small lives, and mm-hmm. I would play with this one kid. His name was Ash because I watched a lot of Pokemon, and he just like I watched him grow up.
Hold on, when you say one kid, is this a toy? Or?
A toy, yeah, of course. Okay. It's a small boy, and then whatever.
That
and
you
then,
named Ash because yeah. you're a Pokemon fan.
I wasn't a Pokemon fan. I just watched Pokemon at the time. Then I named him because of it. Like I didn't grow up being a Pokemon fan. I mean, I could give a f- about Pokemon right now, but
not Logan Paul.
The point, yeah, exactly.
Well, we should talk to him next. Talk about him next because we're all we all used to talk about him.
Sorry, Carson. Who cares? Logan Paul. But so that was aggressive. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Just talk.
Apologize to Logan Paul.
Yeah, I don't give a. I mean, he might get us all canceled. Who knows?
Whatever.
Anyway, so we had this. I had the creative process of just being like so in depth with like the storyline of this fucking character, and I made like scenes of it. Now, I think that because I was a kid, I was able to do. You know how they say like, okay, like kids are extremely creative.
It's the theta like, brainwaves.
Exactly. Yeah. I was fucking thinking about that. Like, there's something that makes somebody so creative, and that gets lost in adulthood.
There's
like
genuine science life, behind it. Under theta right. brain waves, you think much more creative and imaginative.
So as you get older, do that.
As
does
you
that
get older,
away?
And yes, of course.
But there's ways of nurturing it,
especially when you become an adult. We're rooted in reality, which a lot of it sucks.
I'm getting
you
know, to a point.
It's like that meme. It's like not meme. But
we don't have the ability to be kids and think like kids anymore, especially because we don't have the same brain length in which we used to think in because we're much older right. now. But also, we're bogged down by stresses and all these other things. So the creative process gets taken away for a lot of people.
By the industry itself, by the Matrix. I hate to say this. I hate to say it, dude, but the Matrix, dude. I'm telling
you. Like, wait, have you ever seen that little clip? I don't know. I've seen that like scrolling Instagram or TikTok. Like that little kid where everything's so green and he's like just jumping around, and then his dad puts the backpack on him and like pulls him down.
He goes to class.
And then, but he's like still. You know, and then as it goes on and on, it gets grayer and grayer.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also like...
and then he starts doing it to his kid.
The famous SpongeBob episode where it's Squidward. Like, he's happy. He's in his community. He's in his community, right? When he goes to that community and he goes to work, he comes home, he's playing the clarinet, and it's a cutscene of him going home, clarinet, and then, you know, going and riding the bike.
But
every single day he goes...
When he moves and he thought he was going to be happy forever. And
exactly.
Then.
Like, I think that's the process for kids. Like, and anybody who lives in the U.S. in general or in this industrial era, right? Because we're leaving the industrial era. We went to the information era. And now we're in the knowledge, right? Well, what is it? What era are we in?
We're in the information
But I think
era.
It's still
are
important to be
you
your
talking
inner,
about
to find your inner
industrial
kid.
Industrial revolutions?
I'm talking about, like, in
like
terms
I
of
think
like,
I'm a
sorry,
kid.
Economy?
No, I'm talking about, like, the mindset. That is being instilled into children nowadays.
Well,
I
then,
think
yeah,
that
you're talking
it
about
takes
the
away.
Information
and first, I was getting to a point with this entire thing.
Yeah.
Let me just get to my point.
Okay.
Right? So, like, this creative process, I think it's stripped away from people if you're not somebody who practices it. Yeah, they might like theta, like you said, theta brain waves.
Theta brain
like
waves.
Yeah, certain brain things that happen or, alpha, I don't know, life general. Experiences too. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's mainly
it's a good point.
If you don't practice these things and stick with them, like for Matt, he started at a young age. Thanks, Matt. So for Matt, he started at a young age with this creative process and he's always stayed in that creative wave. Now, like,
yeah,
I think you're more connected to that creativity.
Can I say something?
Yeah. After what? You, I want to say something
gonna,
too.
So. I was just going to say, like, I feel, I feel like I could still be a kid whenever I want to feel like being a kid. Like, I get amused by the dumbest things and I could, like, make light of out of serious situations. Not that that's, yeah, I guess that's what kids do.
That's not like being a creative process.
No.
That's not, like, creativity. When you sit down, you're trying to
be
creative.
I know. But even when I'm writing music, like, I don't think of it, like, even, like, I have a process. Like, I was telling you about my process. But it doesn't feel like I'm, like, in a creative space. Like, I don't know. Not that I'm thinking about it in a different way, but I don't feel like...
I think I know what you mean.
Like, I feel... I'm a very creative person. I know that. But I don't think of it like... I don't feel like I have to get in the zone to be creative type of thing. It's just like...
Yeah, it's a normal thing for some people, though.
I get what you mean. I mean, I'm extremely creative, I would say, as well. And for me, it's shifted to 1,000 different things because my attention has been everywhere because, you know...
Easy.
Of course, but...
I want to capitalize on what Paul's saying. I think... The creativity is a perception thing for each of us because I wanted to disagree with you when we were upstairs talking about it. I don't think creativity dissipates as it just matures because I was going to relate it to sports and like professional athletes. They're very creative with their like different moves or like a soccer player with their like tricks. They become creative with different plays, 100%. You know, it's like even the podcast, you guys are being very creative with your content, you know? So I totally disagree with your comment about creativity as a child. Like as a child, yes, you have it's imaginary, you know, like when you were talking about Ash, that's imaginary.
Imagination is part of creativity. That's
exactly.
That's the purest
form. I get what you mean, John.
You know, like as your kid, you're looking at it at like that. But like, I like to think that we're all creative, even at work, you know, we have to be creative with like, I do heavy lifting with steel. Sometimes we have to be creative of how we're going to bring the steel on top of the tower or rooftop.
Yeah.
You know, because creativity is always going to be there. And I'm actually kind of passionate because creativity is like, I don't know, it's just like, it's like very...
It's something that drives the soul.
It drives our soul, exactly. So it's like when you say that there's like our creativity is like gone or like whatever...
I don't think it's being gone. Well, I think it's being stripped
whatever
away.
Whatever you said before, it's like,
I think you're making really valid points, John, and I agree with you, but I also disagree in the sense where you just mentioned three individuals in ourselves who are pursuing things still. Berto has his music. We're doing podcasts, creating content. There are
millions
of people out there that had some sort of passion
exactly.
that they no longer partake in or do or care about anymore because they have a job they have to worry about. They have other stresses, adult things, and responsibilities.
That doesn't have to do with creativity.
So
it does.
Well, no,
dude.
It does have to do with creativity because these things eat up your time and your efforts and brain power. There's some people who end up continuing to pursue things that make them happy, and there's some people who let that die.
And just and become drifters.
Yeah.
Being adrift, I'm not going to get into it, but like, there's such thing as being somebody who just completely lets go of reality and just works towards something in terms of just following money.
Yo, we're all old now. We're all 26 plus. I guarantee you, if you're listening out there and you're in the same age range where I know you are because I know what our demographic is, you know, I hope you aren't one of the individuals listening that really was crazy passionate about something that wanted to pursue something that never ended up doing so because you grew up. You had everyday stresses. Reality set in. The adulthood set in. And that's just the reality of life. It's tough as an adult. You don't have time for leisure things that make you happy when you feel like you got to get the bag and pay your bills.
I don't even feel like I'm pursuing anything. That's the thing. Like the way I'm living life right now, like I don't even feel like I'm pursuing music. Like I'm just doing it because I'm doing it.
That's how I feel about this podcast. I spend hours creating, like doing
like,
video editing, making reels.
Everyone like,
and I don't think it's work either. I love doing it. It's honestly,
Like people tell me, like, dude, it's so great. You're still pursuing music and still like pursuing your passion. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm not really doing it. I'm just going to band.
are, dude.
I'm just going to band practice, and then I got gigs on the weekend. Yeah,
but to them, they love. They probably if somebody
that's
who,
how you know, man.
If somebody who loves music is looking at you, right, and gave up on the thing, they might play. You know, they might pick up the guitar, might pick up the sticks, and play their.
That's exactly how you know.
That's like. They're looking at you saying, like, I could have been what you're doing, but I gave up.
Because
like,
if someone said that to me...
You're playing at the Hard Rock. Like,
if,
what?
If
you're,
someone said
like
that...
You're just playing at random. You're at the Hard Rock. It's a legendary
literally,
venue.
Times Square, Manhattan. Like
the literally, that's the mecca, bro.
If someone said that to me about podcasting, I would feel the same way that you do because I would think twice, like, all right. I wouldn't think twice, like, okay, what else am I supposed to be doing? Like, for me, this is the obvious thing that I should be doing.
And we're doing really this like until doing we make it.
So if someone said that to me, I'd be like, what do you expect? You know, it's not like, oh, I'm trying to pursue this crazy thing.
Yeah.
Which we really are in reality, but I'm not out here.
Yeah, I guess like saying like.
I don't know. It's just, it's a passion.
I mean, there are things in music I'm pursuing, like with my cover band, we are pursuing to try to get those big.
There's obviously an end goal.
Those, it's not even an end goal, but like we are trying to get to, you know, to Jenks and Barre and Secrets and like that, and then
thinking bigger than that, bro. I feel like
cover band, that's as big as you could get
with cover bands.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think about the Bob Marley cover bands that I keep hearing about when they go to what's it called?
Yeah, but that's not what we do. That's not that's our it's our a cover pinnacle. Band. Yeah, no. Our pinnacle.
Yeah.
Is Jenks.
What Matt
Barre?
Matt, what you're Secrets. Doing?
That's our pinnacle. That's what we. That's literally the top.
Matt's cover band. Yeah. If you guys made it to Jenks, dude,
you ever been there on a Saturday night in the middle of summer? Yeah.
No, and not even the middle of the day at Jenks. Like, you will have such a good time. Such a good time.
I don't really know.
And it's because the band there is providing all of that energy.
Yeah, well, you have to be a fan of the music, too. For me, I'm not a big live.
But I think that's what we're saying. You brought up Bob Marley. That's kind of irrelevant to what we're talking about. Because
that's not irrelevant. It's a band that covers Bob Marley.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Bob Marley.
I get what you mean, brother. But we're talking about Jenks and certain venues where.
They play at Bob. Bob Marley cover bands play at Jenks.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
That's not, you know, for Berto's case, however, that's not what we're talking about. Is he doesn't play Bob Marley.
Anyway. And then with my other band, the pinnacle of what I'm trying to do is just play in front of a lot of people. Like, it's not real. I'm not really trying to make money with it. I mean, money would be great, I guess, but that's not
the reason.
So you
just want that dopamine hit.
Why do I just hate your attitude, bro. Right?
Why?
And like, why are you like this? Like,
some people are like, dude, I want my song to go viral and get 10 billion streams. I'd rather play on stage in front of 10 to 20,000 people.
No, that's a great goal.
That's what I would rather do.
I see a lot of purity. So much purity in this, man. That's why I have a lot of respect for you.
Thanks.
I have a different perspective.
And back to the creative part, like, I just don't think I guess I am creative, but I don't think of myself as like a creation. Even like, creation. I don't think of myself as the creative.
God's most artistic.
when I'm like as a drummer, like I just feel like I just I'm there. Like I don't know. I guess I am creative in what I do, but like I think of this is like poetic is what I like to say. I like to think of the drums as the easel and like the canvas, and then the guitarist and the lyricist they're the artists. I'm the easel. I'm the backbone. You know.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not really the artist.
You think that's normally? Let's get into that. Do you think that's normally what a band is? Like, you think that I feel like when you say that, is the drummer normally the person that kind of sits back?
100%. The drummer like,
doesn't get
the, band.
The doesn't get the, no, the I mean, recognition.
No,
you,
not
you have
not
people like in, what's his name from the famous. The most
Travis
famous
Barker.
Drummer, yes.
Travis Barker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not that he doesn't get recognition, just that they're like the drummer's job is he's to hold the glue, holds it together. Solid backbone of the band.
Yeah. Well, Travis Barker is sort of an extraordinary situation as well.
What made him more famous than everybody else? Is it his extravagance or
no?
I mean, you tell me.
I think it really is. At the end of the day, just some people
also marketing
know
like
how
he
to
knew
exactly
how to market himself.
Some people know how to network within
but
the business.
But also a phenomenal drummer.
He's the only alternative rock drummer that has done features and mix with rappers. Name another one.
Yeah, he's a good marketer and
he's
an entertaining person. Like,
well, you're talking
Trippie
about Jay-Z.
Red,
yeah, you're talking about Jay-Z.
And he's a
Red.
Phenomenal drummer.
Yeah, I mean, a ton of he's been able to provide Swaco. He's been able to provide this sort of sound that all these new up-and-coming rap/rock guys have been
Drake
looking for.
Is he the Drake of drumming?
No, I don't. No, I hate that comparison. Don't do that.
I thought.
Don't do that.
I thought we were gonna hit that. I missed.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? No, he's been able to mesh those two genres together.
Actually, no. Who are the best three drummers?
Machine Gun Kelly is another one that he's done a lot of music for.
Machine Gun
Kelly. A lot of drumming for.
I like that album. That one.
Can't even name one song.
Which one? I actually do a little. The one trippy album I like a lot.
I can't even.
I like the album. I don't know what it was called. Ticket to My Downfall. I like that album. It's a good album.
What's the best three drummers of all time?
That's hard. I was going to ask. You can't do that.
No, we can't.
My favorite.
Because at one point, they hate you when they watch this.
Jimmy?
My three favorite are John Bonham is easily number one.
He's number one on like just what I popped up on the left right now. He's number one.
He's the number one rock drummer.
Okay. What's his name?
John Bonham, Led Zeppelin. Okay. I got it tattooed.
Okay.
Wait. Gotta make a clip out of that. Show the camera.
No reason.
Show the camera your tattoo.
Yeah, he does that sometimes.
Oh. Yeah. Show the camera the tattoo. And there's then, my tattoo. Who did you get this for?
So stop. Look at that baby.
I saw a little hair popping. I just needed it.
Yeah, I'm a hairy boy. Oh, my other two drummers. So John Bonham's number one. I really like Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then. Maybe Taylor Hawkins, the guy who just died from the Foo Fighters. Like Neil Peart.
What's a Foo Fighter? A Foo Fighter
or like Bill Ward? Or
we just sang one before.
What was it?
We were singing it, man. My Hero.
That's okay. Now that you named your favorite, now who are the actual goats?
No, those are goats. Yeah, those too.
I mean, John Bonham is probably for sure.
Yeah,
up
but
there.
Paul, your goats. Aaron Rodgers, but the real goat
is Tom Brady. Literally, like,
you know what I mean?
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
It's preference.
Do you know who my father is? Like,
he named his favorite, and there's also the actual goats. Like, some people out there are saying that Cristiano Ronaldo is the ghost of soccer.
I did see that. I did see that.
But I usually like to.
I'm just saying, my father, I know a lot because of my father.
He is very in the beat.
So usually when me and Sean debate music and sports a lot. So I always
when
I talk to Sean, I always try to compare drumming and music to like playing basketball. But this one instance, I really don't think it's comparable. Like saying who's the greatest, because it's way more subjective.
How?
Because, what do you mean, how? It's music.
Is there awards you can win to make you greater? Are there songs that come out that get better views?
If you can allow me to elaborate, Matt, and then you can jump in, I think I understand what you mean, because the art of music is much more fluid and creative than the art of basketball. Like,
you think it's more broad?
There's a lot of different styles of play in basketball. Like, let's say Kobe Bryant is a different style of play than Dwayne Wade or even a center from a point guard, right?
I know exactly
but what Matt means. There's so many different, like Nirvana is rock, but they're completely different than a Led Zeppelin.
Yes,
or there's so many different
sounds. I see
what
you mean.
Like, yeah, and some people could say, like, everybody agrees that John Bonham is like the best drummer of all time, and like what he did for the instrument and rock drumming and rock music is like unmatched. But then like if you look at some of these gospel chops, like some of these got like it's like mind blowing. It blows him out of the water. Like these people, like there's 9-year-olds doing what like it's stupid. Mm-hmm. But like you're nothing. Like you're nothing. You're not John Bonham. Like and it's just like. It's more than just like chops. And with basketball, you could, there's that, you know, the whole debate between LeBron and Jordan, but like there's actual stat lines that you could like hard numbers.
I think that it's a bad comparison in general. And I'll say this one thing too. I think that basketball as a whole is not the genre. You know what I mean? Oh no, I'm saying basketball is a genre of sports.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, okay. But who's music, the best athlete of all time? That's impossible to.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's like impossible.
The best athlete of all time has to be.
But you can't compare.
You can't equate that.
Wayne Gretzky to LeBron to
or Usain
Tom Brady
Bolt.
To
exactly.
Usain to Michael Phelps to
I would say
Mike
I would probably
Tyson.
Say Usain Bolt cuz he's just like a
Yeah, but he's just he's a just runner. A, That's all he did was run fast. Yeah,
exactly. And
Tiger Woods is up there, you too. He's like,
what? Oh, God.
Yeah, and all he did was swing a ball. Like,
yeah,
swing a club.
But people put him up there as a goat.
And then, you know, you got like LeBron versus any, and then you could, it's just, you can't like pick one. The sports, and then like Wayne Gretzky is the most dominant in hockey by far, but you put him on any other sport, like he wouldn't stand a chance. Whereas like you could take Aaron Judge, probably put him football as a tight end, he'd be best football. Tight end out there.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's like 6'7".
He's 6'7", I think. Yeah,
yeah
right?
He's a guy. Tank. Mm-hmm.
Are you happy the Yankees got him again?
I guess. I mean, why not spend the money because you got
he
the money?
He wanted to leave, though. It's pretty upsetting yeah. for you.
No, he stayed. So he didn't want to leave. He could have left if he wanted to.
Money San wasn't Fran, there. Well, he didn't do that because he didn't want to go.
I mean,
he did that because San the money Fran, wasn't there.
No, the money was there.
Nobody Fran, wanted to pay him that.
San Fran offered him the same amount of money for 8 years instead of 9 years. He could have went there. And that's where he grew up living.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
And that was his team.
That's like he could have won. That's like California.
He
nice. Was.
He grew up. He grew up a San Fran. Man. He grew up a Giants fan in San Francisco. They offered him like 40 for 8, and then the Yankees offered him 40 for 9. And
that's not the that. That's all right. First of all, I get what you're saying, but also that's not that much of an appealing offer.
I mean,
that's not like oh wow, it's just 1 year off of my contract. You know what I mean?
It's
there's why, a lot of, wait, why is that contract I mean, look, that long?
There's first of all, baseball contracts are insane.
You know baseball no, stuff.
I do. Yeah.
Why is it?
I'm not John, interrupting you.
John, who was the player that I believe just signed an 11-year contract?
Jesus. Are there options? There has to be. There has to be options to that 11 contract.
11-year, I believe who. I saw. That is just insane.
11 years,
to me.
That's...
I mean,
no,
the
no.
craziest in terms of length that I've ever seen was Patrick Mahomes a how many year or two the, ago at 10 years.
55, 10, that's
and how many is guaranteed?
Million.
What's guaranteed?
Stupid.
$500 million for 10
half
years.
Half a billion dollars.
No, nah, that's retarded.
And he can't go skiing. He can't do a number of things because he can put his health at risk. So during that 10-year span, he can't do all these lists of things.
He's just a machine. He's just a slave
Devers,
to this.
Oh, Devers. He got an 11-year contract for $331.
And he signed it?
Yeah, what was his name?
For Boston. It was an extension. Just, yeah.
Christ, man.
How old is he now?
And yeah, there's also Trey
just gonna
Turner.
Ask the same thing. How old is he now?
Xander Bogaerts. Those guys are 24.
Okay. So that makes
Devers,
sense.
25.
That's so you just signed your
there's
life
three,
away.
I'm like looking at
okay,
it. Okay,
for $500 million, for $300 million.
It was also...
But also, I mean, come on, dude.
Hold on, let Johnson...
Bogaerts, too, for $280 for 11 years with the Padres. Trey Turner with the Phillies, $300 for 11 years, so 2034. Those guys are still like...
So there's multiple 10-year-plus contracts?
Yeah, that was
Has this ever
year.
Happened before ever? No, right? Sure. This is the first time? Other than, like...
In hockey, there's been...
Pre-2020, I've never heard anything like this.
I know.
Never.
Hockey.
In sports.
Yeah.
Hockey, the Devils signed Kovalchuk to a 16-year deal. And
oh,
he
16 years?
He signed him, yeah, the Devil, back in like, I don't even remember what year, like,
you gotta
09,
fucking believe
maybe.
In this kid. What the
fuck? Like 09, they signed him
this
to.
The truth. Like,
no, this was after he was in the league for like 5 years putting up stupid numbers.
So he's 25?
They signed him, I don't know, yeah, I don't know how old. He wasn't a rookie, he was older. He was, yeah, probably our age. They signed him to like 106 mil maybe.
It's not even enough.
For like 15 or 16 years.
Wow.
And
it's not even a lot of money.
That's a lot in hockey. That's massive. Yeah. Dude, hockey contracts are like 5x5.
That's crazy.
What?
Like a massive hockey contract. Like what's his name? Connor McDavid's contract's like 12.5 for six, seven maybe.
I mean, yeah, it all goes by viewership.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, but every Devils game I've been to,
that's why, like,
packed.
The fact that WNBA players, but, like, there's this whole movement behind them. Bill
but
Burke
anyway,
has a
wait,
whole
before we leave this, I just wanted to say, so Kovalchuk signed for 15 years. After, like, 3 years with the Devils, he ripped up the contract and went and moved back to Russia.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow.
He left, like,
that's
over $100
hilarious.
Million dollars on the table.
Did you hear about what Luka Doncic said recently in the NBA?
That he loves Russia?
Someone asked him about... because he's been going off this year, and someone asks, he's like, oh, are you, do you think you're going to be the,
MVP?
Like, no, like, do you think you're going to be, like, top five or, like, the most point scorer of all time in your career? And he was like, I don't know about that. Like, I plan on, like, retiring at some point and going back to my farm.
Yo, did
he
you
said
see,
that?
Did you?
Yeah.
That's fucking honorable.
I like Luka.
I think that's awesome, too. Yeah, I love Luka.
My ear is fucking. Can you lower this a little bit?
Yeah. Which one are you, Matt?
That one.
Okay.
You've just been buzzing this whole time.
My ear, I have fucking tinnitus.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have
well,
bad?
Not actually. But yeah, my left ear is bad.
Matt Liberto, the drummer.
He probably hated that, by the way.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I turned it down for him.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're a drummer. You got ear issues. That is not.
Yeah, that's the life of the drummer.
I have tinnitus.
Wait. I had a fucking thing on my eye, on my brain. What were we talking about?
Yeah.
Luka. Oh, did you see what Tom Brady said?
What?
His interview this morning.
Is that yours? Oh, yeah, it is yours. Yeah. What'd he say?
Somebody asked him, the interviewer asked him something about what he plans to do. So they gave him this list of interviews.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know what the f*** I'm gonna do.
They gave him, before the interview, they gave him his list of like the questions they was going to ask, and that question wasn't on it. So then the interviewer slipped it in. He's like, I don't know if I would have known, I would have done it already or something like that.
Yeah.
You just blew up on him.
I was actually curious about this too. So the issue at hand is, if you're listening, so Tom Brady, obviously he's 45 years old and he's still playing. This is insane, right? So
how many
years does he have left? Is he going to play again? Nobody knows. But this year it's a little bit different because he signed an extension for broadcasting for like 10 years, which almost equivalates to the amount of money he's made during his entire career so far, which is insane. So I don't know how that contract works. I don't know if he signed it for 2024 and he gave himself this year to think about if he wants to play again and maybe have a year off or something. So, John, could you look into that actually for us?
The interview with Tom Brady?
No, not interview, but he signed a contract, a broadcasting contract.
Is John your JV?
Can you try to find out when that contract starts? Yes, he is. John's our JV.
You need to get
So, Tom Brady started. He signed a contract for broadcasting for when he retires, just like Tony Romo did. And it's like a crazy long contract and crazy money. It's like $500 million.
A 10-year deal with Fox Sports for $375 million to lead NFL analyst.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Hold on. Shut up. Let John talk.
Let's see.
Can you reiterate that, John? I'm sorry.
A 10-year deal with Fox for $375 million.
Wait, when did he sign this?
Was
this before this past season?
Mm-hmm. No, the article was in July of last year, but there's also another one in May for 545. Hold on, I'm still looking.
Okay.
Give me a sec. But it looks like $375 million.
Interesting.
And he doesn't know.
That's crazy. What are you guys doing?
Isaac, what the fuck?
I think we're at that point in the episode. 47 minutes, so boys. Cheers. Let's just I'm having a good time so far.
Me too.
Matt, thanks for being candid.
I'm liking this. I haven't been grilled yet, so this is nice.
Oh, yeah, good job.
No.
Thank God, 47. Good looks, John. Good looks.
Wait, what's 47 mean?
I love you, John.
We
got to
break
God
it
up.
We can't send the video to me if it's like past like an hour or something because it's like too big of a file. Yeah. So we got to cut it off and then do it again.
Such a big file.
Wait, I had a question.
Fuck. Well, you don't have to run this again, John. You can shut the cameras off at this point, to be honest.
I'm letting it run. You never know.
I mean, John's already looking into stuff. John, by the way, I love the fact that you set up the arm for it. It looks sick.
I was just goofing around.
No, it stays there.
Like,
man.
I want to put a camera on you. Look dope.
We definitely should. Your phone.
Can we use your or mine?
Other phone.
No, it's up to you. We don't have to. I mean, Jamie doesn't have a camera on him.
Yes, he does.
Jamie?
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, I've never seen what Jamie looks like.
He has a camera on him.
I've only seen him once.
Exactly. That's what we're
doing. And it was because he f***ed up. I don't think he meant to include himself.
I've never seen a camera on Jamie.
Snippet of where it actually goes to John when he's saying something like very like short. It doesn't always have to snap back to him. Anyways, we're gonna talk about.
I mean, later. I would be down for it, but it's up to you, John.
We'll see.
You gotta get a crisp haircut too, you sexy beast.
Your hair looks good.
Wait, did Dan live with you guys when you were in the first apartment?
No.
So who was your
the one we gave you COVID in?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think I got caught. I must have got caught.
No way I didn't.
For sure, brother.
I don't know if you were thinking about this all these years, but 100%
was. It was 1,000%.
No, bro.
Do you know why we know it was you? Because we literally told you, hey, bro,
the day we
just had COVID.
We had COVID.
And you were like, I'll still come and help you move. I don't care. And we were like, are you sure? You were like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm all right.
2 days later, I tested positive.
Yo, I got COVID.
I don't know where I got it from.
Yeah, that
we were
was
like,
a trippy
oh, that's
time.
Crazy.
Yo, me and Paul, we had a pretty bad time with that thing.
I did not get sick at all. I was really not bad.
Sick.
I've heard a lot of different things about the different strains. Supposedly, the first strain was pretty
the
rough.
The worst, yeah. I heard the worst, yeah.
That's the one.
Well,
we
I think that's what viruses do. Is
as
like
it mutates, it gets weaker.
Yeah, because it gets more. It spreads easier, but.
But it weans out.
But it's not as strong.
Yeah.
That's like, so it's because survives like the whole, like the evolution of survival.
But, I mean, you're happy to have the first variant.
Because you don't want to kill your host.
Well, you know about the genocide with the
Native
Americans.
I think that was the second, though, because that wasn't until the end of 21 that I got
no,
it.
No, that was the first ever.
Ooh, you're right. No, that was the end of
2020. Yeah,
yeah. That was October 2020.
But that's a blessing in disguise because that's when I was home. No, that's not true. It's not even true. I'm wrong.
I knew he was going to say some bullshit. Like.
No, I thought it was true, but it wasn't. I was going to say that's when I got the motivation to join the bands, but I was already joined. That's not true.
Are you telling us
you know what's crazy?
The ones that motivated you?
No, I'm saying I was.
We can can attest that. Clip that.
Yeah, yeah. Just cut and paste a little bit.
You know what's crazy is talking about viruses and diseases and stuff like that. So the slaughter of the Native Americans that was done.
Let's get into it.
When the aliens were here.
No, they did. The aliens are the ones. The aliens are the ones.
Everybody diseases.
It just has to be this type of conversation. Every single time they come on. So now that the proof.
There was one thing you sent me that I was like, all right. Well, okay. Tell all the people what you're talking about. I guess. He sent me one thing.
I sent you several things, actually.
But also, that could have been an edited clip. Who knows?
It was an edited clip, yeah. But it also was phenomenal. There was this one video. It was a long script. What, 3 minutes, right?
I think so. Yeah. And it was like a bunch of clips of like
the same object, different perspectives.
No, not even that one. There was another one. It was you sent me of like Obama saying something and
yeah, that was real.
Was that the same?
Yeah, the CIA. The same video? And then it went into other things. And then it had like clips of in the same video.
Because I remember the video of that like ball that just zoomed across.
But there was different perspectives, right? The videos that were posted in that stream were all people who lived in that area that took videos of the same thing and mm-hmm. posted it on on TikTok.
I mean,
it's this one unidentified object or phenomenon got captured on like hundreds of different phones mm-hmm. and posted on TikTok. Yeah. And the feed was just of this fucking object.
You know?
It was a sphere. It was a circle. And you could see, this is 4K. Like, these people had, like, my phone.
I don't know why I just can't, but I just don't believe that.
Well, let me say this.
It's not fake, bro. Like,
I'm not saying it's fake.
These are regular people in that area.
I know. I'm not saying it's fake. I don't think it's fake.
But they're recording it, and they're like, yo, what the fuck? Like, yo, I'm freaking out. Like, that's something in the air.
Let me say this.
Fighter jets flying after it. Like,
I know.
Yo.
Okay. So that's what I was going to get to. Let me say this. In stepping aside from regular people footage, we now have a pretty decent amount of declassified governmental CIA footage from fighter pilots. Like,
literally, Obama said, hey, we don't know what that was.
Not even Obama. There's audio clips. Like a lot of hours, thousands of hours of audio clips of fighter pilots and people in the military completely, you know, don't know what to say, distraught, flabbergasted, etc., off of some sort of, you know, there's those military generals that say, my boys see these types of things every single day. And there's a lot of audio clips, but also what I was going to get to, there's a lot of declassified videos now as well. And there's this one specific
released case by the CIA
where two fighter pilots went to go look for something that was hovering above water and
went down.
Dropped down below water.
I saw that.
That's a big conspiracy that there's bases in the water because there's been a real amount of sites in the water.
It has to be. You know how deep the ocean is? The ocean is so deep that your insides would blow up when it got to a certain depth.
Yeah.
Wait, does it scare you to think that there's aliens here? Does it scare you?
For me personally,
they're here, bro. They live in the earth.
Yeah. Does it scare you?
So
no.
Let me answer, and then you answer.
We would have been annihilated years ago.
Okay. Yeah. That's. I was going to say something similar. I find comfort in trying to look more into depth about things that don't make sense to me and might be possibly really scary. Like for some reason, that gives me comfort. For, you know, someone like my sister is the exact opposite. She wants nothing to do with this type of conversation. But like you said, the fact that we're still here uninterrupted, I think is a good sign. Also, there's a lot of evidence of contact with UFOs and aliens during the time of war and nuclear use.
Yes.
There's been a crazy amount of
hundreds
instances
of thousands of stories.
So sightings. You think they're looking out for us?
Yes. In a sense, they're...
They don't want the Earth to go to... Because they live here.
It's not that they live here. It's that what we do on this planet affects the cosmos, affects the energy in the rest of the cosmos, which is where they reside. Not this specific planet.
I think that they do live
elsewhere within our Milky Way and our galaxy, right? So if we have a nuclear blow up and everything goes to here, I think that they are actively actually trying to prevent that, because most of the sightings that you do hear about are by military bases around the world. They're from fighter pilots that talk about doing nuclear tests.
Yeah.
And for some reason, out of nowhere, somehow,
some sighting,
all of their technology is deactivated.
Yes,
they
like EMP
they
bombs.
They can't even do tests.
Like EMP bombs. Just yeah. happen.
Now, do you think that aliens have been here for the past 10,000 years?
I think aliens have been here for
millions of years. Yes, I agree.
Since
I agree.
Before,
for me, Berto,
before humans?
Probably, yes, yeah, for sure.
Dude.
I mean,
do you think that humans are the first ever intelligent being? Dude, the
no,
universe
I don't
is
think,
so
I don't
massive.
Think so. No,
do you
want to
hear something that I
kind
of subscribe to?
Think that.
And that I read this in an actual book out of pure curiosity. The earliest civilizations, also the Mayans, the Egyptians, mm-hmm. the Sumerians, mm-hmm. countless
Anunnakis.
Others,
mm-hmm. the Anunnakis,
all depict the same f-ing images. Also, Leonardo da Vinci's paintings all have UFOs in them. For real. This is real. Look into it afterwards if you want. John, if you want to pull some up for us. UFOs in them. So if all these cultures who no way they can have contact with one another are all depicting the same sort of creature and object in the sky, that's a little compelling.
Yeah.
Also, you said the Anunnaki. So the first ever civilization called the Sumerians gave all their credit to their intellect. They were the culture that started math, science, you know, aggregate, waterways for their civilization, all of this. They all credited that intellect from coming from a higher being, which were called the Anunnaki. And
my most compelling argument, dog, is yeah. not even that. My most compelling argument, and Matt, I know you understand this. Dude, when the pyramids were made, mm-hmm. there are pyramids in Mexico. There are pyramids in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. There are pyramids in Egypt.
I know, there's pyramids.
There are pyramids
yeah.
in all around the world. There are pyramids. None of these motherfuckers had contact. There's no way of having contact when they made those the pyramids.
Yeah, but
none of them.
Also, the other thing you have to consider,
and they're
is,
aligned perfectly with stars.
I know yes. that as well.
That's what I was gonna say. The mathematics like, behind these structures,
like literally perfect.
So you can fit
I think it's like 99 point something.
The circumference of our globe can fit perfectly within pyramids. This is why I'm so obsessed with Nikola Tesla, because the math and the science behind pyramids.
That was alien,
is what
I'm telling you.
Nikola Tesla, out of all humans ever,
he was a alien.
Dubon was intrigued with by the most and had thousands of inventions.
It's either he was an alien or he had information.
Most of his inventions we've never gotten to see because his got raided. He passed on, and all of his documents are classified by the government. So we don't know. Most of his inventions.
And you know what?
That he was working on, which over 100 years ago, which is mind-blowing because the technology now is much more advanced. So if he had today's technology with his ideas and inventions...
We would have been in Mars right now.
I'm sure we would have had some green energy products. However, I already feel like we do have that. But it's just not implemented because of corruption in government in Greece.
Do you think they're the aliens? Or do you think it's like aliens made this AI and sent their robots?
AI is a pretty insane concept.
For humans to
create this. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you've seen the videos of these robots like doing human. Have you seen these videos of these robots? These
the Boston Dynamic robots are a bit alarming.
God, these things can fucking shoot on pinpoint accuracy. Shoot guns.
They can jump. They can catch things.
They
insane.
Can jump, Paul. They can do somersaults.
They can dance,
my guy.
Bro. They can gritty.
No,
these things can f-ing gritty.
They can do they full can gritty. On somersaults. I'm telling you, this is how are the Devils doing, by the way?
It's tied 1-1.
Okay, we go. Berto's losing interest in this conversation.
It's not that I'm losing interest.
He's just not convinced.
I'm just
even after the president said, "Hey, by the way,
I'm not. I'm way more convinced than I was. Like I've accepted the fact that like aliens could be here and could have been here since before humans have been here.
Is it? Can I just be this guy and tell you that? Is it because of the content?
Is it because you have broken me down?
Yeah.
Over 3 years of sending memes every day.
For me, it's not even like these stupid videos. It's more about the ancient."
It's not the ancient. I don't know.
Is it
it's
the information like, though
like
that
the
no,
knowledge?
No, maybe a little bit. I guess I don't know. It's just like I don't know. I don't know what it's what it is. But I'm not like I was never sold. I didn't discount the idea of it being real. I just was never sold on it. I just never bought it. I did see today that we collected some type of radio wave.
Yes, that's what I wanted to bring up. That's what I want you to look up, John.
The black hole.
Yeah. There was scientists on Earth. I forget what country it was.
Detected
picked up a radio wave from a
galaxy
crazy light years away.
It was literally 9 billion light years away.
So how we did the same thing, which Stephen Hawking.
There's a sound
before he passed. He said we should not be doing this at all.
Why?
But scientists sent out a radio wave into our cosmos to see if, hey, is anyone going to pick up on this? And he said, that's a f-ing dumb idea.
No,
you're letting them know, hey, here's where we are. Come get us. Yeah, so Stephen Hawking, before he died.
No, but I don't think that was... 2015. I don't think that was so, first of all, that light was emitted 9 billion years ago.
What? The sun?
The light. No, the radio wave. Radio wave,
and it just got here now. You're saying
yes,
yeah.
Radio wave is a light wave.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lower frequency. Mm-hmm. But
I didn't know that. What's going on here?
You didn't know that.
Why are you guys both locked in?
I'm sorry. Wait, no. A radio. So like, it's if you look at the spectrum of electromagnetic radiation or waves.
Oh yes, yes.
Light is a very small frequency, with violet being the highest frequency and red being the lowest frequency.
Red,
or maybe it's the opposite.
Red, as in yes. This right here.
Yes, the if you look at a rainbow, you know, Roy G. Biv. Red is so, and then infrared is still light, but we can't see that light because it's
even
it's
other so red. Other reptiles can.
And then ultraviolet is on the other spectrum. It's like past violet. It's past the frequency we can see.
I didn't know this.
And then X-rays and gamma rays and radio waves are all part of that spectrum.
Gamma rays are green.
So
no, it's just so... Here, look. If you look at...
Holy
shit. I've said this in the podcast before, but Nikola Tesla says if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So frequency and vibration are things measurable on scales. So how our brain works, we talked about theta brain waves, remember, in the beginning of the podcast?
Yeah. This is
a radio wave is the lowest frequency of wave. And as the wave gets faster, it turns into a microwave. It gets faster, it turns into infrared.
But it's off of colors?
Yeah, no. So the color visible light is this tiny spectrum here. So it starts out as a radio wave, and then as it gets faster, it turns into a microwave, and then an infrared wave. And then once it gets faster, it turns into red, then orange, yellow, green, blue, red, violet.
Only we can see these.
Yep. And then once it gets too fast, then it turns ultraviolet, and then it becomes an X-ray, and then a gamma ray.
I swear to God, I didn't know this.
We have, as humans, a field around us that orbits and exists
every day. So we can't see ultraviolet, we can't see X-rays, we can't see gamma rays, we can't see infrared, we can't see microwaves, we can't see radio waves.
We've made...
But they are all that color.
It's not that they're that color.
Why are they labeled as that color, then?
It's just... They're really not that color. They don't have a color because they don't
can't
have a color.
Can't see them. We've never seen them before.
But we have like some dogs have like could see ultraviolet light or infrared, and like that's why some
and snakes too, right?
Yeah, nocturnal animals could see infrared light, that which a heat gives off infrared light.
Look, this is why I have so much belief in ancient cultures and
civilizations. we've made machines that could see all, like we've made machine like receivers on cars could receive the radio waves and they see the radio waves.
And the thing that Marines use when they fucking throw that shit on, right?
Infrared.
That's infrared.
Yeah.
To be able to see in the dark.
But look, this type of thinking
that's has nuts.
Bro, this type of thinking has religions based around it. Like people who understand how energy works and frequency and vibration works, understand that this is a universal law that is enveloped in our existence as human beings. There's a chart and a diagram. Again, Leonardo da Vinci has a crazy famous painting, which is broken down into math. It's like 360 and 180. It's this diagram of the human like this. You've probably...
Yeah, of course. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So within that exists this field of energy and vibration and frequency. And it's no secret that you've probably heard this before too. It's why people talk about good vibes and like this, right? If you're angry, if you're in a depressed mood, you're probably at a low frequency, how you're operating, right? This is real. If you want to be more of a positive person, you have to change your frequency. You're going to start thinking different. The thoughts that you receive, right? We receive thoughts sometimes, right? What am I thinking about? Why am I thinking about this? You're receiving something from somewhere. If you tune your frequency in the right manner, you're going to start to receive the shit you want to receive. If you're in a bad frequency, if you're low vibes, you're going to attract bad shit to you.
Oh, shit, dude. Hence the law of attraction. Yeah. The law of attraction is all frequency. Oh, my God. Why is it a
brain You have brain to break blast? It down into senses like that to make it make sense for you.
That's insane. I love that.
Well, I had a really fun time. And I had a good time, too. Matthew, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Keep it going.
Before we wrap it up, though, shout out your bands. Shout out what you want people to go follow, etc.
Right there. Tell people.
Hot Wings, yeah.
Hot Wings. Cameras are down.
Love Hot Wings.
At Level Up Band NJ on probably everything, and at Born Lost Band, I think. Yeah, and come check us out. We'll be playing at a venue near you soon enough, I'm sure.
All right, guys. We appreciate you for sticking around. This is the PGP. It's P-Matt and Poppy, Matthew Siliberto, and John Castillo, episode number 74. We love you guys for listening. Go to fans.link/thepregamepod.
Damn,
fans.link/thepregamepod. If you want to follow us on Instagram, go subscribe on YouTube. Go listen on Spotify. Go listen on Apple Music. That's fans.link/thepregamepod.
Where are you
looking? We love you guys for listening. Isaac, 3, 2, 1.
Get. Yeah.